Good morning, and welcome to the Xerox Corporation fourth quarter 2013 earnings release conference call, hosted by Ursula Burns, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer. She is joined by Kathy Mikells, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. During this call, Xerox executives will refer to slides that are available on the web at www.xerox.com/investor. At the request of Xerox Corporation, today's conference call is being recorded. Other recording and/or rebroadcasting of this call are prohibited without express permission of Xerox. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask your questions at that time, please press star one at any time during this call. You can withdraw your question by pressing the pound key. During this conference call, Xerox executives will make comments that contain forward-looking statements, which by their nature address matters that are in the future and are uncertain. Actual future financial results may be materially different than those expressed herein. At this time, I would like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Burns. Ms. Burns, you may begin.
Good morning, and thanks for joining the call. Today, we're reporting our fourth quarter earnings that are largely in line with the expectations that we communicated last quarter. We managed the anticipated impact of headwinds in a handful of businesses while we continue to build in areas of strength and future profits. Let's begin with a review of the strategy. Our shift to a services-led company requires us to constantly enhance our offerings and deliver unique Xerox solutions to our customers. They partner with us because we help them take the complexities out of their business processes. For example, we're simplifying services in government healthcare with Enterprise, our system for Medicaid, and we're creating smart parking solutions like Merge, a real-time analytics-based technology that addresses urban parking challenges. Our managed print services have been awarded highest honors for global market leadership by industry analyst firms, a distinction that validates the strength of our document outsourcing business. In our services business, we are continuing with the implementation of the five-plank strategy that we reviewed at the November investor conference, which includes improving our cost structure while supporting investments in areas where we see opportunity and differentiated benefits for our customers. We're maintaining our leadership in document technology and effectively managing this profitable business with strong cash characteristics. With a robust portfolio, we're capturing market share with new products like ConnectKey. We're transforming the graphic communications business with new workflow and digital automation services, and we're growing our channels operations to expand our reach to small and medium businesses. Across both segments, services and technology, we have a keen focus on profitability. Delivering on these strategies will enable consistent earnings expansion and strong cash flow, which we are committed to deploy in a balanced way that will enhance shareholder value. Here is a closer look at Q4 results. We reported adjusted EPS of $0.29 and GAAP EPS of $0.25, with the difference being the amortization of intangible assets. Total revenues were down, with services flat as the student loan runoff continued, and we saw no benefit from acquisitions in our revenues. Services operating margins was lower than we planned, and although they were driven by known issues, this is an area where we need to make more structural progress. It's a constant focus for us. Services signings were up 20% for the year. BPO and ITO renewal rates were at 92% and above our target range of 85%-90%, both positive results that position us well for 2014. In document technology, revenue stabilized with positive results in global imaging and graphic communications, offsetting weaknesses in developing markets and Europe. Segment margins remained strong and above our target range, reflecting strong cost management and expense management. In total, operating margin was down 130 basis points year-over-year. A decline in margin was anticipated given known headwinds, but nonetheless emphasizes why we are undertaking our margin improvement strategy and our continued need for disciplined focus on operational excellence. Cash flow from operations came at the high end of the full-year range, and we ended the year with $700 million of share repurchases. As we look to 2014, I'm pleased with the strategy that we've got in place to expand earnings. I'm confident that we have all that it takes to move our business forward and deliver value to our shareholders. With that, let me turn it over to Kathy, then I'll wrap up, and we'll open up the call for questions.
Thanks, Ursula, and good morning, everyone. Much of Q4 played out as we expected, with the exception of services margin, where we have more work to do. We hit our EPS and cash flow guidance and got a bit more done on share repurchases. We feel good about the continued positive trends in leading indicators, our strong cash flow, and the progress we're making implementing our services initiative to accelerate growth and improve margin in 2014. Let's start with a look at overall earnings. Revenue was down 3%, or 4% at constant currency, with services flat year over year, or down 1% at constant currency, and document technology down 6%. For the full year, services was up 3%, and document technology was down 6%. Document technology declines were roughly in line with the full year, and services revenue growth decelerated as we faced a number of known headwinds that we guided to last quarter. Gross margin of 30.7% declined 130 basis points year over year, driven by continued pressure on services margins from startup of healthcare platform projects, student loan runoff, as well as from volume declines, with higher pension settlement costs impacting primarily document technology. Our ongoing productivity initiatives drove improvements in RD&E and SAG in line with the decline in revenue. This resulted in operating margin of 9.3%, down 130 basis points year over year, consistent with the decline in gross margin. Adjusted other net was $96 million, down $74 million year over year. There's a couple of drivers here. Within OID, there's a gain of $29 million associated with the sale of a portion of our Wilsonville, Oregon assets and product development resources. This was a win-win arrangement that enabled us to right-size our resources and further strengthen our 17-year relationship with 3D Systems. Notably, we retain our intellectual property as well as capabilities in ink and printhead development. The gain enabled us to do a greater level of restructuring in the quarter, with restructuring of $56 million coming in about $20 million higher than what we originally guided to, and $35 million lower year over year. Our adjusted tax rate of 24.5% was in line with our guidance and modestly higher year over year. Adjusted EPS of 29 cents was down 1 cent from 2012, and in the middle of our guidance range of 28 to 30 cents. So in summary, we were pleased to deliver our EPS guidance, but need to make more progress to fully overcome near-term headwinds and deliver sustainable earnings expansion. With that, I'll move to the services segment slide to review in more detail the drivers there. Services revenue growth was flat, with document outsourcing up 4%, ITO up 2%, and BPO down 3%. Growth rates have decelerated and are playing out as we expected, with document outsourcing showing stable mid-single-digit growth and ITO growth tapering, consistent with the slowdown in signings. BPO growth has temporarily gone negative, reflecting no inorganic contribution, the toughest compare for student loan, as well as lower volumes than anticipated in customer care. We expect Q1 to show modest improvement in growth, driven by BPO, as compares improve, signings continue to ramp, and we begin to see some inorganic contribution. Signings in Q4 were once again positive, with new business signings up 5%. Total contract value for all signings was flat, due to less renewal opportunity in the quarter compared to the prior year. BPO total contract value was up 20% in the quarter, with strong growth in healthcare payer, healthcare provider, finance and accounting, as well as in Europe. For the year, BPO also had strong signings, with new business up 9%. Document outsourcing overall signings were weaker in Q4 due to less renewal opportunity, but new business signings were up 1%, and for the year were up 23%. ITO had lower signings as we continue to see trends towards smaller contract sizes, and our focus remains executing on previous large deals and improving our margins. Renewal rate was also positive at 92% in Q4 and full year, which was 7 points higher than the full year 2012. Our new business signings combined with our strong renewal rate yielded total contract value growth of 21% for the year. The leading indicators are strong coming into 2014. Shifting to profitability, segment margin was 9.6% in Q4, down 160 basis points year over year, and a little lower than the roughly 10% we were targeting. The year-over-year drivers were largely anticipated, reflecting the effect of student loan runoff, which peaked this quarter and cost us 60 basis points on margin and 1.5 points on revenue. The continued pressure from our new government healthcare Medicaid platform and healthcare exchanges, and volume pressure in wireless customer care. That said, margin was a little lower than expected as a result of technology customer care volumes ramping up slower than forecasted, and healthcare platform expenses coming in above our original forecast as we've had to put even more resources towards improving our operational performance there. At the same time, we're in the early stage of implementing our five-plank strategy in services that we had outlined at our November investor conference. We expect benefits from these actions to build throughout 2014, improving trends in revenue growth and margin. Turning to Q1 guidance, we expect a modest improvement in services revenue growth to approximately 1%. Our margin will be seasonally lower, and we expect it to be at about the same level as the prior year margin of 9.3%. For the full year, we continue to expect at least a 50 basis point margin improvement, with the greatest improvement coming in the second half of the year, as near-term margin pressure dissipates and the impacts of our margin improvement actions accelerate. I'll now turn to document technology. Revenue in document technology was down 6% at both actual and constant currency for both the fourth quarter and the full year. Equipment sales revenue was down 4% year-over-year in Q4, as relative strength in the U.S. in mid-range and high-end was more than offset by weakness in developing markets. Supplies revenue also declined in Q4 and was down 9%, with almost half of the decline the result of actions that we took to reduce channel inventories. Additionally, our previous finance receivable transactions negatively impact annuity revenue growth. High-end continued to perform well and had positive equipment revenue growth in the quarter as color growth more than offset the mono decline. We are gaining share in this segment and expect that positive momentum to continue. Mid-range had another solid install activity quarter. We had seen strong activity growth for the ConnectKey class of products since launching it last year, and we continue to receive very positive customer and industry feedback. Finally, entry revenue was weak, driven by the continued weakness in developing markets, as well as the impact of channel inventory reduction. Overall, document technology margin was quite strong at 11.7%, and although down 60 basis points year over year, reflected the ongoing benefits from cost and efficiency savings and a currency benefit from the weak yen. The two drivers of the margin decline were lower gains from finance receivable sales and higher pension settlement expense. On an absolute basis, this quarter's finance receivable transaction resulted in a $15 million gain, contributing 60 basis points to technology segment margin. However, the gain was $6 million lower year over year. Higher pension settlement activity resulted in $36 million in higher expense for the company, the majority of which is in document technology. So overall, in-line performance for document technology for the quarter. Looking to Q1, we expect document technology to have revenue down mid-single digits and margins up year over year. With that, let's turn to cash flow. Cash flow from operations was at the high end of guidance with close to $1 billion generated in Q4 and $2.4 billion for the year. Free cash flow was $1.9 billion for the year, with CapEx of $427 million. Our cash flow results include a net benefit from finance receivable sales of approximately $130 million in Q4 and $300 million for the year, resulting in underlying cash flow from operations of $2.1 billion for the year, which compares to underlying cash flow of $2 billion in 2012. The $100 million year-over-year improvement was mainly due to lower pension funding, as working capital was roughly flat for the year. It should be noted that working capital timing was purposefully smoothed out in 2013, and thus we had less of a benefit in Q4 than prior years. Looking to 2014, we're maintaining our operating cash flow guidance of $1.5 to $1.8 billion. This reflects our expectation of no finance receivable sales, with underlying cash flow of $2.2 to $2.4 billion. The drivers of underlying improvement include services EBITDA growth, as well as working capital gains. Consistent with our normal seasonality, we expect Q1 operating cash flow to be the lowest of the year, with sources roughly offsetting uses. Moving down the cash flow statement, investing cash flows were a $53 million use in the quarter. We spent $111 million on CapEx and had proceeds of $33 million from the 3D system transaction and $15 million from the Europe paper deal. We had no acquisitions in the fourth quarter and spent $155 million on acquisitions for the year. As previously communicated, acquisition spend was tracking below our full-year plan of $300 to $500 million. In December, we announced the Invoco acquisition, which expands our European customer care presence. But it just closed last week, so it'll be in our Q1 results. Cash from financing was a use of $100 million and included the issuance of $500 million in senior notes, $71 million in common dividends, and $524 million in share repurchases, which put the full-year repurchases total at approximately $700 million and resulted in a $36 million net reduction in shares for the year. Moving to the next slide, I'll walk through our capital structure and capital allocation plan for 2014. We ended the year with $8 billion in debt, which is $500 million higher than our September ending balance, driven by our early December $500 million senior note offering. Given attractive rates, the offering was $200 million higher than originally planned, which will pre-fund a portion of the roughly $1.1 billion senior note that comes to maturity in May of this year. Applying 7-to-1 leverage on financing assets, our allocated financing debt is $4.4 billion, leaving core debt of $3.6 billion. Our financing debt continued to decline, driven by the finance receivable transactions and lower originations. Our capital allocation plan is as follows. On debt, in light of the $200 million pre-funding, we expect to refinance about $900 million of the $1.1 billion in debt that comes due in May. On share repurchase, we continue to plan to do at least $500 million in 2014 and expect those repurchases to be more evenly spaced through the year. On acquisitions, we expect to spend up to $500 million. With the recent Invoco acquisition, we're off to a better start than in 2013, and I feel good about the quality and progression of the deals in our pipeline. And finally, for dividends, we're announcing today a 9% increase in the quarterly dividend to 6.25 cents per share. This will result in spend of approximately $300 million, which is only modestly higher year over year, as share repurchases have served to help self-fund the increase. Strong 2013 operating cash flow, combined with the lower level of acquisition spend and larger December debt offering, resulted in a year-end cash position in excess of $1.7 billion, providing upside to our capital allocation plan. So in summary, we enter 2014 on solid footing. Document technology is performing well, with stabilized revenue declines, a strong market position, and continued good profitability and cash flow. In services, we're well underway in implementing our five-plank strategy that includes not only cost initiatives, but also active portfolio management to drive growth and direct investments towards our higher margin, more differentiated offerings. And we feel good about our cash position, cash flow, and ability to continue to drive shareholder returns through balanced capital allocation. Looking at Q1, at the consolidated level, we expect revenue will still be somewhat pressured and down low single digits, with document technology down mid-single digits and services growth modestly improving to roughly 1%. And for margin, we anticipate it will be seasonally lower, with services roughly flat and document technology up year over year. As a result, we expect earnings per share of 23 to 25 cents for the first quarter, which includes approximately 1 cent for restructuring. With that, I'll hand it back to you, Ursula.
Thanks, Kathy. Our performance in the fourth quarter and for the full year reflected our ability to deliver bottom-line results while we continued working to strengthen our operational delivery capabilities for the long term. Services signings are growing as we continue to win in the marketplace and strive to differentiate our offerings, deliver state-of-the-art platforms and innovative world-class solutions to customers around the world. Our document technology business is stable. We're gaining market share. We're keeping costs down, and we're delivering advanced products in key areas of the printing industry. Both of these contribute to a healthy annuity stream that will benefit our long-term performance. Throughout 2014, our focus will be on executing our services strategy. This strategy is designed to promote revenue growth and improve margin. We continue to plan for at least 50 basis points of margin improvement in the services segment. We'll capitalize on the most advantage segments of the document technology business to maintain our leadership position in the industry. And we'll continue to deliver healthy cash flow driven by the dynamics of our attractive recurring revenue business model. With this in mind, we are reaffirming our 2014 guidance, and we announced today a 2-cent increase in our annual dividend rate to 25 cents a share. I'm confident that we have the right strategy, the competitive strength, the dedicated workforce, and a disciplined focus on execution to build on our progress. Thank you, and now I'll turn it over to Jim.
Thanks, Ursula. Also, let me point out that we have several supplemental slides at the end of our deck. They provide more financial detail to support today's presentation and complement our prepared remarks. For Q&A, I ask participants to limit yourself to one follow-up question so we can get to everyone. At the end of our Q&A session, I'll turn it back to Ursula for closing comments. Operator, please open the line for questions now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one key. If your question has been answered, or if you'd like to remove your line from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from the line of Jim Suva from Citi.
Thank you, Ursula and Kathy, and congratulations to you and your team there on Xerox. It seems like the services are really turning around. A quick question, though, on the services is it sounds like that you had to invest a little bit more for the healthcare. If indeed that is correct, if you can confirm, and I assume it was probably just you wanted to make sure it pulled off without any bumps. And that being said, can you let us know going forward, it sounds like the 50 basis points improvement is still indeed intact. As we look forward to 2014 in the services areas, are there any more roll-offs or headwinds? I know student loans I think is going to impact by about 25 basis points, but anything else like more renewals, more large contracts, you know, more thing that could impact pricing, or do you pretty much have a pretty firm grasp on what's going on with the services and as 2014 rolls out?
I'll start with the healthcare investments, and then I'll turn it over to Kathy to answer the rest. Healthcare, you are correct. We actually made a conscious, necessary decision to invest more, particularly in the rollout of a health exchange platform in the state that we are heavily involved in. That's one investment. We had already expected, which we actually communicated last quarter, to invest a little bit more, but we actually went even beyond that to assure that we respond to any needs that the clients in the state had. We'll continue to do that. I think it will be less necessary as we go forward, if you know what I mean. We're at a level that I don't think we have to go very much above. But this is an area that for quarter four, we made sure that we didn't fall any further behind, and that we actually served the clients on the ground very well. Kathy will talk about the 50 basis points and additional headwinds.
And so, Jim, at this point, I think we have our headwinds, you know, very, very well understood and recognized. And if you look at, you know, where we had guided to a quarter ago and talking about what impacts we thought we were going to see, you know, I think we were roughly in line there, with the only additional pressure that we saw, you know, really, as Ursula just mentioned and as you mentioned, you know, looking to put more resources behind standing up successfully those healthcare platform implementations that we had. If I, you know, look at the progression for improving 50 basis points in 2014, you know, as we talked about on our investor conference, you know, it's naturally back-end loaded as you look at the known pressures and how those known pressures will dissipate during the course of the year. So a good example of that is, I've mentioned that as a result of the implementation of our new enterprise MMIS platform, we're drawing amortization now. We will lap that beginning in the second quarter, and so that year-over-year, you know, impact and pressure will start to dissipate. With respect to student loan, right, which caused 60 basis points of the pressure in the quarter and, you know, 1.5 points of pressure on revenue, you know, when we get to the fourth quarter of next year, we actually lap the government piece of that business just going away. And in terms of that margin pressure, you're absolutely correct. It lightens up year over year, and again, that's a little bit more back half and loaded, which is why you're going to see the progression of our margin improvement throughout the year. And I'd say similarly, in terms of the pressure that we're seeing on revenue, you know, we feel great about forward indicators and our ramp, basically bringing BPO revenue growth, you know, coming back kind of beginning towards the end of the first quarter and then building into the year. So that gives you a little bit on the puts and takes for what we think the progression is going to look like.
Great. Thanks. And as a follow-up, you know, for this year, any both size or quantity of renewals coming up we should be aware of, like more than last year, or any potential, hey, in Q3 we have a lot more than normal, or 5 mega deals coming up for renewal, anything we should just be aware of, conscious of for 2014?
Yeah, the only thing that I would flag is we had a really strong first quarter of 2013 in terms of total signings. I think the number is $3.7 billion, and so we have a tough compare in the first quarter, but there's really nothing else going on than that. And, you know, I spoke to a little bit in my prepared remarks, the overall kind of composition in terms of mix. You know, one of the things that we talked about at our investor conference was, you know, really a focus on improving mix, both, you know, taking resources and making sure that we're adequately putting resources where we have high margin business, we're trying to accelerate growth. Data analytics obviously being a component of that, continued innovation. But as you look at kind of the mix of new business and as you look at the overall mix of signings, you know, it is skewing towards places where we do have high margins. And so that, again, over the course of the year is going to help us to actually mix up.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, and congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you.
Operator, please, next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shannon Cross from Cross Research.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Shannon.
So my first question is on restructuring. I mean, you took over $100 million worth of restructuring charges this year, or I guess in 13. You're planning on taking, I think, at least that amount in 14 probably. What can you give us an idea of exactly, you know, where those dollars are focused, how we're seeing the benefit, even if you know, not necessarily in margins because of other things that are going on within the business. But if you could just sort of give us an idea of, you know, what you sort of focused on in 13 and how you're going to shift the dollars or focus in 14 so we get an idea of you know, sort of what support level might be behind some of the margin improvement.
Sure. I'll speak to the fourth quarter in terms of the restructuring we did in the fourth quarter. A fair amount of that was targeted towards the U.S., targeted towards back office, and then, you know, we're starting to see more restructuring within services and expect that as we progress into 2014, in part associated with looking to shift you know, a greater percentage of our total labor base towards low-cost countries. On the technology side of the business, restructuring is really normal course. It is what we have to continue to do in responding to the overall pressure of that business to ensure that we're maintaining strong margins. And so I feel really good about, you know, what we see coming in on the bottom line as a result of that restructuring, and that is a good, you know, portion of the total dollars that we spend, because restructuring is more expensive on the technology side of the business, you know, than it is on the services side of the business. But, you know, we will continue to see that, and when we talked about it at the investor conference, we said that we expect to have at least as much restructuring in 2014 as 2013, and obviously we've guided to, you know, a penny of restructuring expected right now in the first quarter. We did a little bit more restructuring in the fourth quarter. You know, we started out with guidance of 2 cents. We ended up doing 3 cents. But that's going to continue, and we feel good about the savings that that drives.
Okay, great. And then, Ursula, maybe if you can talk a bit about what's going on within both technology and DO in terms of, you know, underlying trends. It sounds like U.S. is relatively stable, but emerging markets are weakening. You know, your low-end printers were under pressure, but you had strength in color. So if you can just, you know, frame sort of what you're hearing from your customers, what specifically is going on, why annuity was down 6%, anything you can provide there would be helpful.
Let me give you thanks, Shannon. Let me give you a kind of run around the world from a technology standpoint and then by line of business, and then I'll give you a wrap-up on services. What we're seeing in the U.S. In enterprise accounts is a little bit of uptick, primarily focused around our document outsourcing offerings. If you look at the signings there, we are seeing those signings, U.S. signings, increase. And I think that's a little bit of a bright spot for us. We still have to stand them all up, implement them, et cetera. So, and then in small and medium-sized businesses in the U.S., we're seeing a pickup, and that's primarily because of our partner print services as well, and also because we have an unbelievable channel there, a channel that's doing extremely well and taking share. That's our global imaging business. So U.S. pretty much par for the course, fairly normal, and working fairly, very well in technology and fairly well in services. Europe, you may see a twinkle of light in certain areas, but it's pretty much the same. Business, we haven't seen a significant change in the European marketplace, up or down, throughout 2013, and our outlook for 2014 is pretty much the same. We're going to increase our focus on operationalizing some of the cost reductions that we have there. Some of the restructuring that we have is focused on that area, counting on the fact that we're not going to have a big upturn in the economy. We're just going to continue to drive through efficiency so we can keep our profitability in that portion of the market strong. Developing economies is the place that we saw, primarily Russia and Eastern Europe are the places that we saw a significant change in trend quarter three to quarter four, significant. We saw a change in trend quarter three to quarter four. Some of that was driven by us. We literally, as we talked about in the third quarter, changed and tried to drive down our channel inventory, actually to protect ourselves, to make sure that we actually don't leave a lot of things stranded in the channel. We moved down our channel inventory, which dampened our revenue. But also we saw just market weakness in Russia and Eastern Europe. It's a big market for us, a very profitable market for us. We are still very successful there, but just the general overall market activity is lower there. In services, we're seeing strength in signings in Europe, which is a good leading indicator for us. We started to sign more in Europe. Signings are up about over 20% in Europe, which is really good. We have a good base. We put in place some activities a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago, and it's starting to come to fruition. And the rest of the globe is pretty much normal from a services standpoint.
Thanks. Thanks, Shannon.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ben Reeses from Barclays.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? I wanted to ask about what some of the positives could be to margins during the year. Is there an incremental benefit you're going to see on the cost side from the yen? And can we also just talk a little bit about on the services side a little bit more of the timing when student loan reverses, and then what what quarters that could be a year-over-year benefit and whatnot. We talked about some of the hits, I think, in detail in the beginning of the year, and if we could talk about the positives as we flow through, that would be helpful in both divisions. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben.
And so overall, in terms of just positive impacts on margin, one of the things I talked about at the November investor conference was an expectation that we were actually going to get some relief on the pension side of the house. So, you know, I mentioned that pension settlement expenses were up $36 million in the fourth quarter, and a big part of that cause was we printed the discount rate that's used to determine people's pension benefits in August, and there was sort of a, I'll call it a blip of an upturn in August. And so that caused people, rightfully, who are trying to, I'd say, optimize their economics, to choose to take their pension, you know, at the lower discount rate in December. And so we had a lot more activity in terms of people coming into what I call the, you know, the cash register to cash out their pension towards the end of the year. So we continue to expect we're going to get margin, you know, uplift in terms of just overall lower pension expense next year. We also expect that we'll get some benefit in terms of yen, you know, flowing through to gross margin in the technology business. It's going to be, I'd say, not quite to the same degree as we got this year. In total this year, we got about a $60 million benefit. We expect that next year is probably going to be roughly $40 million. So those are some upsides. And then as you know, just talk about other activity that's going to assist us in margin, you know, the slowing of ITO growth relative to BPO growth over the course of the year helps us to naturally mix up. The signings that we're now ramping up and implementing are more heavily weighted towards higher margin businesses. So if I went back to the bubble chart that I talked about at the November investor conference, you know, those bubbles that are the naturally higher margin businesses, you know, starting to pick up a higher growth rate as a result of positive signings activity. So those are some of the puts and takes.
Great. On the buyback side too, is that more front-end loaded? Maybe you said that. I'm sorry if I missed it.
Yeah, I said today, and I certainly said at the investor conference, you know, we have an expectation to do share repurchases throughout the year, right? If you looked at our activity in 2013, we did a little bit in the third quarter, and then, you know, we did a whole lot in the fourth quarter, and that isn't exactly, you know, what we would like to see. So we're already, you know, repurchasing shares this year. You know, to date, as we sit here today, we've done about $45 million worth of share repurchases. But what you should see is more of a steady progression over the course of the year.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Ben. Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Keith Bachman from Bank of Montreal.
Hi. I have two questions. The first is on a theme we've brought up before, and it's labeled consistency in services. So it doesn't seem like it's changed much in that your analyst day was on November 12th, and you talked about 10% operating margins there, and they came in at 9.6. And then I don't think any investors thought during the quarter, certainly from leaving that meeting or any time during the quarter, that services revenue growth would be down 1% in constant currency for the quarter. So my question is, you know, what is Xerox doing to improve the consistency, particularly of the services when, you know, 45 days left in the quarter, I think investors would generally say that they're disappointed with the performance of services relative to the message communicated at the investor event.
So a couple of things. I'd start with, you know, we said that we thought we'd get to roughly 10% margin for the quarter. At Investor Day, I said I thought full year would be anywhere between 9.8 and 10% for the full year. We're obviously at the low end of that. And we actually guided to services, you know, overall revenue being about flat for the quarter. And so it was flat on an actual basis. So, you know, we're a little bit off, I would say. I wouldn't say that we're a lot off, and overall in terms of the trajectory as we go forward, you know, there is a lot that we are changing to improve the overall trajectory of services. But there's a number of things that are one time, right, and not, I'd say, on a long-term basis, systemic to the business. So when you look at the revenue pressure that we're currently facing, you know, student loan and the reduction in wireless, you know, coming largely from a single customer account that was very large, you know, is a temporary transitional issue. Similarly, M&A, you know, which last year in the fourth quarter gave us 2 points of revenue and this quarter gave us nothing, and starting to now see that activity pick up this year is, again, a transitory issue. If we look at what we're doing in terms of, you know, executing our five-plank services strategy, I'd say, you know, our forward indicators look good in terms of improving our mix in business, kind of clearly part of that strategy. M&A is off to a better start. We've got a very keen, granular focus and higher level of engagement in terms of really managing the KPIs around the strategy execution. We're continuing right now to put more resources behind areas of growth. A great example would be, you know, WDS, which we've talked about, does analytics in our customer care telecom space, investing more there, more heavily in R&D in order to build additional platforms so that we can go into additional verticals. So I'd say we're doing a whole lot in terms of really actively managing this strategic execution to ensure that we get the improving trajectory that we've talked about in 2014.
Okay, well, that relates to my follow-up, Kathy. And at Analyst Day, you had talked about growth in 14 of 0 to 2% consolidated. And I just wanted to revisit on your conviction around those numbers. But as part of that, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about how we should be thinking about M&A contributing to that number, and specifically if you could talk about how much the deal that you already completed will help in the March quarter. Thank you.
So the deal that we completed, I'll give you what we spent on the deal, and that will help you to roughly size it. It was a $60 million deal. With regard to, you know, the overall trajectory of M&A, you know, we're starting from zero, right? We obviously expect a positive contribution, and we expect that to ramp over the course of the year. We have a fair amount of conviction about not continuing to underspend in M&A, you know, with focus and discipline around ensuring that we do, you know, high-quality, good deals that are going to drive good returns for our shareholders. So, you know, we feel good about that and making sure that we're focused strategically and that we're, you know, looking at deals where we're going to have synergies to help us be more competitive on price pressure. You know, our pipeline continues to be pretty robust as well, you know, kind of up mid to high single digits. And so we feel good about the leading indicators and services.
Thanks, Keith. Operator, if you have the next question, please.
Certainly. Our next question comes from the line of George Tong from Piper Jaffray.
Hi, thanks, and good morning.
Good morning.
So we saw some fairly healthy metrics in the services segment over the past 12 months around signings and retention rates and in pipeline growth, particularly in the BPO segment. So looking out in 2014, what areas are you targeting in terms of penetrating growth opportunities, and how should those metrics translate into services revenue performance?
And so if you look at services revenue performance and the fact that we were on an actual basis on top line, you know, flat for this quarter, you know, guiding to about 1% growth in the first quarter, you know, we're expecting to see a positive progression from there as we continue to ramp up, you know, the positive signing numbers that you referenced, as well as start to pick up, you know, on M&A activity with, you know, one deal already over the finish line right now. And as I mentioned earlier, the composition of the new business that we've been booking, and if you look at, you know, the composition of total signings, you know, it's really skewing more towards higher margin businesses, which should start to give us, you know, some tailwind as opposed to a headwind in terms of overall margin. So, you know, payer-provider, overall retail, federal government, U.S. transportation, You know, these are all businesses that are already at very good margins, and the fact that those growth rates should increase relative to other businesses like ITO, as an example, really should help us in overall margins. You know, one of the things that I mentioned at Investor Day is two-thirds of our BPO portfolio is already at a 10% or above margin. So by continuing to look to accelerate growth of the higher margin businesses, we should really start to give ourselves a little bit more help during the course of the year.
And when we're not at the 10% margin, George, government healthcare is an area that we're making progress. We're really focused, as I said, in responding to the first question, on making sure that we get this right, and we do not, like I said, put any additional risk or pressure on any states. But as we do that, we are stabilizing more and more. And so throughout 2014, this significant investment that we're making, that we made in 13 and at the tail end of 12, should start to pay off with a more accretive performance, accretive results to the company. I'm very confident of that. We have a lot of energy around it. And it's not totally visible to the details not totally visible to the investors, but there's a lot of energy behind this to make sure that we get it right and that we don't, like I said, risk our customers.
And the one other thing I would just add on government healthcare is, you know, we stood up a lot of things in 2013, right? So we implemented a new MMIS platform in New Hampshire. We implemented one in Alaska. We obviously had the lead on the Nevada Health Insurance Exchange, and we supported a handful of other health insurance exchanges at other states. So that's a lot of things to stand up in government health care in a given year. And as I look forward to 2014, we have one MMIS customer that we're standing up, but on a relative basis year over year, it is nothing in comparison to everything that we had to stand up this year.
That's very helpful. And as a follow-up question, do evolving costs to stand up healthcare contracts alter the individual components of your bridge to get to 50 basis points of margin expansion? And if you can also give us an update on how Project Compete is tracking according to plan?
Yep. And so it really doesn't, I'd say, overall alter the bridge that I talked about at Investor Day. I'd say with regard to the progression on government healthcare, I'd already taken into consideration, I talked about the amortization of the platform, which has a big expense, and the fact that, we'll lap that year over year. Sorry, so the second part of your question, George?
Project Compete.
Yeah, so Project Compete is well underway. I mentioned a little bit earlier that we're very engaged in ensuring that we're driving kind of KPIs down to the lowest level in the business. A great example of that would be Ursula and I were on a call with, I'll call it 25-ish folks across the services organization earlier this week, really walking through their KPIs across, all of the metrics we're tracking on strategic execution. Obviously, Project Compete is one piece of how we intend to get, labor costs as a percent of revenue down. That's about Project Compete. It's also about just getting more efficient and more effective, implementing technology and automation tools across our customer care centers and the like to just drive overall productivity. So we feel good about the overall program and are very engaged to ensure that we're well executing there.
Thanks, George.
Thanks very much.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes to the line of Kulbinder Garcha from Credit Suisse.
Thanks. A question I have, both questions actually on services. The first one is, if you guys are spending so much on M&A, the organic growth rate in services this year is very close to zero. Is that roughly right, or will it actually grow? And what's the kind of long-term revenue growth rate that we should think about in that business once you've gone through this transition period? And then on the margin, from Q1 to Q4, let's say, as we go through this year on services. Kathy, I just want to understand that Q1 will be the trough, it sounds like, and then the ramp is a combination of the runoff impacts fading, some of the cost initiatives, and just standard leverage. There's nothing else that has to happen for you to, let's say, do a 11% or slightly above that margin in the fourth quarter on services. Is that the right way of thinking of it?
Yeah, it is. So I'll start with the second part of your question. That's all it is a ramp over the course of the year. That's exactly how you should think about it. Obviously, with the guidance of our margin in 1Q being, you know, roughly the same year over year, it suggests that we've got to get to, you know, reasonably above 10 for the remainder of the year. But my expectation in terms of the year-over-year ramp is that it's going to start out slower in terms of year-over-year gains, and obviously it's going to be second half of the year loaded. If I then flip back to your first question, you know, with which started with, hey, with all of the spend on M&A, I mean, I'll kind of start there and say, you know, it isn't as if we've had a lot of spend on M&A, and we certainly didn't guide to a different overall target number, you know, really than we've been trying to execute to previously. So historically, M&A has given the company 2 to 3 points in revenue growth. We're not expecting that we're going to get, you know, a wildly different answer in terms of overall growth from M&A. We're just looking to get M&A activity back up to where it's been historically.
Okay. Thanks, Coulter. Can I have the next question, please?
Certainly. Our next question comes from the line of Ananda Barua from Breen Capital.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking the question, and congrats on the solid quarter.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I guess two for me. The first one would be, can you give us a sense of how, you know, we should expect BPO revenue to ramp, I guess, through this year and into 15, and kind of what the components and the timing of those components are, even if the components are the removal of headwinds like student loan runoff, you know, kind of both government and commercial as we go into 15. And should we expect, or is it your expectation that BPO get back to mid-single digit in 15, or I guess, more specifically, entering 2015, and then I have a quick follow-up.
Sure. So overall, I'll start with the last part of the question. You know, BPO will get up to mid-single digits, but that's not where it's going to start at the beginning of the year. Obviously, you know, if you look at where we end at 4Q overall in terms of services, right, and BPO being down year over year in first quarter, you know, BPO may be down kind of marginally still, but kind of quickly then ramping up to be positive. So some of the factors in terms of how we lap, you know, some of the pressures that we're currently facing, right? In the fourth quarter, the student loan pressure on revenue, 1.5 points, that's the worst quarter we're going to see. Overall, the way that progresses in 2014 is, you know, it gets much lighter when we hit the fourth quarter because that's when we hit the compare in terms of the federal government piece of the overall student loan business going away. Right now in the fourth quarter, the wireless volume pressures that we talked about in customer care caused about a point decline in the fourth quarter on revenue. You know, that will dissipate over the course of the year. So when we get to the back half of the year, that pressure basically falls away. And then M&A, which, you know, year over year was a 2-point decline on revenue, no contribution versus the prior quarter of about 2 points of revenue, you know, we would expect that will ramp over the course of the year.
Got it. That's helpful. And then I guess I see this as my follow-up. Then as we get into 15, what are the headwinds that remain in 15 of the ones we say on TOTOP?
Yeah, you know, so the only headwind of the things that we talked about that we'd expect in 2015 is student loan is two pieces, and I just talked about the government piece, which when we get to the fourth quarter of 14, we totally lap that business going away. The overall student loan portfolio will continue in slow decline. So, you know, we will still have a negative impact when we get to 15, but it's not going to be anything near the numbers that we've been talking about. So, you know, we're calling attention to it, obviously, because it's having a big impact right now. By the time we get to 2015, yeah, there'll be an impact, but it's nothing near what we're talking about now.
And in addition, by the time we get to 2015, a lot of the contracts that we signed in 13 and 14 will have ramped. We're seeing that benefit today, just the early portions of it, particularly our technology customer care business that's actually doing very, very well. That's going to ramp, and by the time we get through 2014, it'll be at the ramp. at the ramped stage. Sorry.
Yeah, and you know, we're obviously focused talking about BPO or BPO-ITO. You know, with respect to document outsourcing, you know, document outsourcing, new business signings were up 23% this year as well, and strategically we're incredibly strongly positioned there. You know, we had talked about previously the fact that Gartner has put us in the quote-unquote magic quadrant. You know, we've got a new leader. We're just well positioned there. So that also will assist us in the services segment.
Thanks, Ananda. If we can have the next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes to the line of Mark Moskowitz from JPMorgan.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Is Len Lodge on the call right now?
No, he's not. Okay. Lynn is dealing with a personal medical situation. We expect him back on the next call.
Okay, good. I hope the best for his recovery there. The reason I ask, I just think it's been pretty point blank here today about how important services is. So I was just hoping we could ask a few questions of him, but we'll wait till another day on that. But maybe I could just talk a little about the services M&A ambitions here, because it was definitely absent last year, and that was always kind of one of the hallmarks of ACS in terms of the M&A funnel or activity. What has changed now where you're feeling a little more confident where you can move forward with acquisitions? Did it have to do with just getting the cost structure in order or the balance sheet in order, or do you guys have to assemble a new team under Kathy's leadership around M&A and integration and all that stuff? I'm just kind of curious what's changing now where you're feeling a little more confident about making M&A.
I'll have Kathy respond to the actual operational piece of how she does it. Let me just make sure that I make clear what did change in M&A from a strategic standpoint when we acquired ACS. We are significantly more pointed about what we want to acquire. Margin accretive, global expanding, innovation-based acquisitions are what we are after. That selection funnel obviously makes it harder than before we had that funnel. But I think based on history of ACS and what we know about the margin progression and growth progression of this business, that funnel is the right funnel. Kathy will talk about the pipeline that we have in M&A. Better, but let me give it over to her now.
Yeah, so I'd start with, we have one deal, you know, over the finish line that you and Volko that I spoke about. We spent $60 million. That's already, you know, a level that's higher than what we did last year, because while we did three deals, they were all quite small. When I first joined the company, I would have told you that the pipeline was light, and as you know, M&A just kind of ebbs and flows. Our pipeline has built over that period of time. It's matured. We obviously have one deal that's over the finish line. We've actually added resources into the M&A group. And then I'd say the other thing we're doing is, you know, working really closely with the businesses and trying to generate what I call non-brokered, you know, deals. And so looking for our pipeline to also have a number of deals that, you know, we have been through the business kind of courting over a period of time to just improve our success rate.
Okay, thank you there. And then just to follow up, if I could, can you help us, Kathy, understand for 2014, in terms of EPS guidance, how much is predicated on the increasing offshoring of labor within the services business? Is that a big part of EPS in terms of a support or a backstop, or is that more for 2015?
You know, certainly over the course of the year, we expect overall, looking at, you know, our labor cost as a percent of revenue, you know, to give us a fair amount of help in EPS. A piece of that is clearly moving our footprint more towards low-cost centers, but, you know, another piece of that is just getting more productive and more efficient. And we do that both by literally shifting work into low-cost countries and also, you know, through attrition, just hiring up in low-cost countries, you know, and trying to shift that without necessarily incurring restructuring charges. So, you know, for sure it's meaningful, but it is not the only piece that we're focused on in terms of getting our labor costs down.
Thanks, Mark. If we could have the last question, please, operator.
Certainly. Our final question comes from the line of Bill Shope from Goldman Sachs.
Okay, great. Thanks. I have two questions, actually, on the technology segment. Could you give a bit more color on the developing markets comments you made earlier? I mean, given the volatility we're seeing in some of these regions, Can you comment on whether or not we should think about this adding any material risk to the stabilization process we've seen in the tech segment as we progress through 2014?
I would say not material and not continuous. We have a long history in developing economies in general. That history shows us that it does come and go. The good news is that we have a big base of business in many different areas around the developing economies. You know them all. In this quarter and second half of this year, this has been pressured in Russia and Eastern Europe. Our fundamentals are good there, and we're not losing share. You know, we're participating in a fairly normal way. So as the economies start to improve, we expect, or the regulations start to improve, or whatever drives the changes in Russia and Eastern Europe starts to improve, we'll participate, you know, as we normally do, which is in a leadership way.
And the only other thing I'd say is, you know, DMO, developing markets, as a percent of total tech revenue is not really high, you know, call it between 12 and 13%. And we have a quite good history of managing profitability there when we see revenue decline.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then my last question would be a bit more clarity on the supplies inventory situation. Was that, I'm not sure if I misunderstood this, was that primarily because of the DMO weakness, or was that a broader-based inventory correction? And then I guess off of that, are you comfortable that you're fairly done with that process now?
Yeah, so we're comfortable. We're fairly done with that process. I mean, we were working towards it in the third quarter, and so, you know, in the fourth quarter, we had a bigger impact. It shows up in DMO and also in indirect channels, so that's where the inventory change takes place. And then DMO just overall was a little bit softer.
And this is something that we initiated, and I think it's a good business practice for us to be on, given the volatility that we see in general and in the world. And so we just wanted to make sure that we didn't have a lot hung up through our partners. And so we made the decision to pull this back. It definitely did impact the SMB segment and DMO, but I think it's a good business decision to make.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. That's all the time we have for questions today. Thanks for your interest. And Ursula, anything more to wrap up?
Yeah, let me just wrap up with 2 points. Thanks for joining us today. It's always good to hear from you. I said this earlier, but I think it's worth repeating. We are focused on delivering on the strategies that we've outlined, which enable consistent earnings, expansion, and really strong cash flow, cash that we are committed to deploying in a balanced way that enhances shareholder value.
Thanks, Ursula. That concludes our call today. And if you have any further questions, please contact me or any of our investor relations team. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may now disconnect. Everyone have a good day.